God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake from the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Before I arrived here at SUMC about a year and a half ago, I had not had much, if any, experience with the style of worship that we experience together here on Monday nights. The candles and the reading of the same scripture multiple times and the time of extended silence, those were all new to me. So I was a bit unsure of what to expect when I first started joining you all. Maybe not unlike some of you when you first started coming to this service. And really, at the beginning, what I remember is thinking how long the times of silence felt, like they would seem to last forever. I'm not naturally a person who likes to sit still. I'd rather be doing or moving. So I'd never really done well with stillness or silence. And yet, I started to notice something as I returned week after week. The silence grew on me. I began to find it easier to spend that time. It didn't seem to last nearly as long. And eventually, even on the weeks when I wasn't able to join you all, I found myself missing this time that we spend together. Now, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir on this, but there is something about taking the time to be still and to be in quiet. The psalm that we have been reading tonight contains the often quoted verse, "Be still and know that I am God." It's the same verse that we put on the cover of the bulletins for this service. And in many ways, it's what we're encouraged to do during our time together here. But what exactly does it mean to be still and know that God is God, both in the context of this psalm and in our everyday lives? Well, that's what we're going to look at this evening. First, notice what else is happening in this psalm. This is a prayer of seeking refuge. This is a prayer about when times are difficult and unknown and uncertain. This is a psalm about God's help in times of trouble. So as we talk about being still, we remember that it's not done not just in the good times or when we have time for it or when our lives are quiet, but maybe especially in times of difficulty. When we talk about being still, we're talking about more than just not moving and not talking. To be still isn't just a physical state. Instead, when we take the time to be still, especially during difficult times, we are acknowledging that we believe that God will act, that we believe that God will help us, that we don't have to solve our problems by ourselves. Just think of it. When you come here and you are still, you aren't just giving that time to God. You are refraining from acting in other ways instead. When we take the time to be still, we aren't out there trying to fix things for ourselves. We aren't out there trying to figure out our own futures or make our plans happen according to our own ideas. Instead, we're allowing God to act in our lives and in our situations. To be still allows us to trust that God will act. And to be still allows us to focus on who God is. In general, Psalms serve to remind us who we are in God's eyes. Thomas Merton once said of the Psalms that they will, above all, tell us not merely what we ought to be, but the unbelievable things that we already are. We are at the same time in the desert and in the promised land. The Psalms are our bread of heaven and the wilderness of our Exodus. Psalms describe for us who we are, that even when we face challenges, even when we find ourselves in the desert, we can hold on to the promise of God. So what are those promises that we hold on to? When we are still and remembering that God is God, and who is it about, and what is it about God that we remember? First, God is with us. The psalm reminds us over and over again that no matter what, God is with us. That even in times of trouble, God is there. God is in the midst of the city, in the midst of where the people are living and being each and every day. So no matter what we face in life, no matter what we have done, God is with us. No matter where we go or don't go, God is with us. As we take time to be still and know God, we remember and acknowledge God's presence with us at all times. God is with us. And second, God is at work. God is not merely present. God is active in our world and our lives. As this psalm tells us, God is a very present help in times of trouble. Not a distant help, not a casual observer from afar, but a present help whose words we are to behold. When we take time to be still before God, we also take time to remember what God has done in our lives. Because when we are able to remember what God has done, it helps us to acknowledge still what God is doing and what it will do in our lives. These rememberings, they can be from our own lives or from the lives of others or from the scripture. But through it all, we remember that God is at work. God is with us. God is at work, and God is greater than our fear. We don't have to be afraid of the trials and challenges we face, because God is greater than all of that. God, our very present help, allows us to turn from fear and into hope. God is greater than our fear because God is our refuge. When we take time to be still, we take refuge in God. Now, God isn't a refuge that frees us from the world or allows us to escape all of our problems. But even better, God is a refuge in the midst of whatever we face. When we take time in stillness, we focus on the promise of God. God is with us. God is at work. God is greater than our fear. God is our refuge. Before we move into communion, I want to read the scripture one more time to focus on these promises. This version is from the Voice paraphrase of the Bible. It says, God is our shelter and our strength. When troubles seem near, God is nearer. And he's ready to help. So why run and hide? No fear, no pacing, no biting fingernails. When the earth spins out of control, we are sure and fearless. When mountains crumble and the waters run wild, we are sure and fearless. Even in heavy winds and huge waves, or as mountains shake, we are sure and fearless. A pure stream flows, never to be cut off, bringing joy to the city where God makes his home, the sacred site where the Most High chooses to live. The true God never sleeps and always resides in the city of joy. He makes it unstoppable, unshakable. When it awakes at dawn, the true God has already been at work. Trouble is on the horizon from the outside nations. Not long until kingdoms will fall. God's voice thunders and the earth shakes. You know the eternal, the commander of heavenly armies, surrounds us and protects us. The true God of Jacob is our shelter. close to his heart. Come, fix your gaze on what the eternal can do. Amazing, he has worked desolation here on this battlefield, earth. God can stop wars anywhere in the world. He can make scrap of all weapons, snap bows, shatter spears, and burn shields. Be still, be calm. See and understand that I am the true God. I am honored among the nations. I am honored over all the earth. You know the eternal, the commander of heavenly armies, surrounds us and protects us. The true God of Jacob is our shelter, close to his heart. When Jesus was born and lived among us, he showed us what it's like to have God who is always with us, a God who is at work, a God's greater than our fear, showed us what it's like to have refuge in God. And on the night when Jesus knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, he gathered with his disciples around a table, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, make us one with each other. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. What that means is we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. Or receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip the bread into the cup of juice. We do have a gluten-free option if you prefer that. I'll invite my server to come forward, and then you all are welcome to come as you are ready. Go forth to be still and know who God is. Go in peace. Amen.